What is up, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Green and Bold podcast. Today we've got an exciting one because we are back, and by that I mean we are both back. Tanner and Trenton are both in the studio for this one, so that's what's up. And then we've got an exciting episode today because we are recording just a little over one hour ahead of NFL's opening kickoff Thursday night game, Bucks Cowboys.
You know what? It keeps us from getting long-winded, man.
So we should be able to get through this one rather quickly, but we've also got a fun and exciting episode because we've got our bold predictions for the Packers 2021 season. Should be a fun one. We've also got some fun little predictions we're going to throw in there, keep it lighthearted and get through it quick so we can hit the kickoff for week one, but we won't make you wait any longer. Coming up next, episode 24. All right, guys, once again, thanks again for being here. We're so happy to be recording episode 24, especially even more excited to be recording before week one of the NFL kickoff. But I'm really excited to dive into these 2021 Packers predictions because I think there's going to be some hot takes in this episode, and usually me and Tanner can get some good discussion out of those. Yeah. But we've got some fun ones that I want to get out of the way that aren't just pertaining to the Packers, but the NFL as a whole. And kind of, I want to call these the toilet bowl, not toilet bowl, but the toilet bold predictions, because these are going to be the bold predictions for the bottom of the NFL here. And I'm just going to start it off. I think worst team in the NFL is usually a pretty hard team to predict because you never know what's going to happen during the season. And, you know, you never know what's going to happen with rosters or injuries. So there's always going to be that. But there's two things that I question. A lot of questions I've got about the Houston Texans, which isn't just their quarterback controversy or, you know, the new head coach and a lot of roster turnover, but there's just a lot going on down in Houston, and they're trying to trade Deshaun still, but they haven't done that yet, and each week they're like, yeah, I don't know if he's gonna play. But they're right now, before week one, the Houston Texans are my easy pick for the worst team in the NFL. I didn't go through and predict like an entire a record for their season or anything, but I would not be surprised to see this team go 3-14.
And then that's going to be a whole nother adjustment in itself, is having to like no longer say 4-12. Like, that's always a pretty good default for a
every
bad team.
Single time, dude. I have to think in my head 17 games.
Well, like, yeah, and I keep thinking about that too, because it's something I have to think about when I go with the Packers record, and we'll mention that when we get there. But yeah, Houston Texans, pretty good bet. The reason I remember when the Jets they were predicted to go 0-16, and they had a not even near as horrendous season. I think of the Dolphins, like when they were just terrible, and Flores' first year, so like 2 years ago, and they ended up getting like 5 wins. So that's where I was like, you know what, I'm gonna go away from the Texans because they are like, not everyone's saying they're gonna be the worst team, but they are, I'd say, probably the odds-on favorite, largely because they were bad last year, and then they, you know, are gonna be without Deshaun Watson this year, assumedly, and then in the future. So they're a good prediction. I'll give you that. My prediction is the Jacksonville Jaguars for the second year in a row, because I do like Trevor Lawrence. I think ETN, he's out for the year, I believe. It's for the year, but I think he's going to be a stud. I love James Robinson, but I think Urban Meyer, and this is a hot take. It's not going to be, because we're going to talk about who might be the midseason firee, first coach fired this year. And I think he'll be through the whole year, but I think this is Bobby Petrino 2.0. So give me the Jacksonville Jaguars, worst team in the NFL in 21.
Yeah, and I'll jump in on
AFC
that.
South.
Yeah, definitely. And I'll jump in on that too, because I do not trust Urban Meyer as a football coach, and I don't know what the deal is. And like, he'd already given up on coaching, you know, years ago. So my thing is like, he had already given up once on the college level, and now he's back. And I realize there was medical issues there, but I don't understand. If he had heart problems back then, I don't see how that translates to like being okay in the NFL.
I mean, I'm sure he's got a lot of medical expertise behind that decision, but it's definitely one that gets you worried. But Yeah, I mean.
Well, and on top of that, like the fact that he, Tim Tebow was yoked. Like, I'll be real with you. That man looked like he probably could have done something. But then, like, the fact that they gave him a real opportunity at tight end. And I know he's already been cut. But it's just decisions like that that are, like, that scream Jacksonville Jaguars. And then, like, the fact that, you know, Urban Meyer's in charge of it. I don't know. It'll be interesting. I thought about going with the Jaguars, but I went solely with the fact that I believe Trevor Lawrence is going to be decent. I didn't choose them. But that being said, and you brought it up, that's a good one to roll into because of the Urban Meyer hot takes. But we've got coaches on the hot seat, not necessarily on the hot seat, but first coach we think could be fired. Doesn't have to be midseason, because right. You know, if all the coaches make it through the season, which seems to be more and more of a rare thing these days, especially because everybody's so win now that you've got to make a decision now. You know, look at the way teams treat rookie quarterbacks. If that rookie quarterback doesn't perform well enough his rookie year, I'm already moving on from him, basically. And coaches are sort of falling into the same boat, it seems like, and it could get even worse with the added week, with the schedule. The added week could definitely lead to some in-season hires. And this one, you know what, it might be a little biased, and if you're a Bears fan, you might not like it.
Oh,
but Matt Nagy's on my goddamn hot seat.
Friend of the show, Duke Coughlin, man. I don't think he'd be throwing any fits down there.
I don't think Duke would disagree with my take at all. Probably I think he'd be doubling down on my take on why that's the right decision.
You think he'd have if he was faced with like a 9-8, keep Nagy around, he'll be the one to. Well, do you think if he had a choice between like a 8-9, we'll see, but it was fun because it looked like they had a chance at the playoffs, or just completely bombing so they can fire Nagy early, you think he'd go the latter?
Nah, I'll be real with you. I think anything short of a wild card appearance, Duke would definitely be on the, you know, right. Nagy's out the door side of things. I think if 8-9 gets them there, maybe, yeah. Because of the expanded playoffs, but
well, I'm thinking, do you think he'd rather choose like a 2-15 season over, you know, something that like might get Nagy fired week 5 rather than like, you know, a 7-10 up and
right,
down,
right.
You know?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question, because
I think there's a lot of Bears fans who feel the same way. So that's my reasoning for bringing that up. Like,
that's curious. We might actually have to ask Duke, because I'm not sure how he'd feel about that. Because at the end of the day, I know Duke just wants to see his team win. So I don't think he's going to root for his team to not win just to get Nagy out of there. But I also know that Duke has heavily criticized Nagy, and I've agreed with him for the most part. In fact, I was a Trubisky supporter, as funny as that sounds, coming from a Green and Bold podcast where, you know, Packer stands. But I was a Trubisky supporter, and I've honestly really liked the talent that the Bears have had on their offense for a while now. I just never thought it was used right. And every time I watch a Bears game, I heavily question the play calling that's going on. I always go back to last year where it was like 3rd and 4 in a must-win game, and he called like a halfback toss that was like a deep halfback toss. Like, I think it went to Cohen, and Cohen had to like run backwards just to catch the toss and then get it. And it's like, you're calling that in 3rd and short situation? I just don't understand what you're going for there. And, you know, what are you really hoping for as a coach? And I messaged Duke about it in that moment, and I'm like, what in the world is going on? So, I you know, maybe a lot of Bears fans do feel that way. I definitely agree with that. But, yeah, that's my pick for, like, first fire of the season, especially if things don't go that well, because first off, I think it's going to start off with Nagy being his same stubborn self. He's shown that he's been stubborn about things before. You know, he didn't want to make the QB switch last year, and then when he did, they, like, he bounces all over the place. But this year, I think it's going to be much of the same. How long is Nagy going to ride it out with Andy Dalton, and how well are things going to go in that period of time? Because, I mean, if he rides it out with Andy Dalton, and say the Bears start, like, 2-7 or something like that, and then he finally makes the switch to Fields, and all of a sudden the Bears fall to, like, 2-9 or, you know, 3-8 or something like that, I mean, at that point, you're looking at, I've got Justin Fields. If you're Ryan Pace, you're the Bears GM, you're like, I just drafted Justin Fields. I've already seen Nagy fail with Trubisky as the quarterback. And now it seems like he's kind of putting Justin Fields in a poor position right now this season. Do I start fresh, you know, kick Nagy out the door and go with my guy next season? And I could definitely see that happening. And I've just been super critical of Matt Nagy because, again, as weird as this sounds coming from me who hates the Bears, I think the Bears have been better than what they've performed for years now, for like the last three seasons at least, since that 2018 year, really. Like, you know, the Bears have always had a good defense, and I just think that they've been better than what their record shows. And I think a lot of that falls onto the hands of Matt Nagy, and so that's why he's my pick for first fired coach for 2021.
Right on. When you said the word stubborn, like, which isn't always a bad quality by any means, but, like, he's not a very, like, endearing or likable guy. So that's where it's like, I'm not rooting for him to do poorly in life. But, you know, it's like, hey, when he gets fired, it might be like, well,
And it was like a month ago, it was like maybe even over a month ago, they asked him, is there any possibility that Justin Fields plays in week one? And he just flat out said no. So you're telling me it didn't matter what Justin Fields did at all? He could have came out in preseason and just torched people, and you weren't gonna start him? Like, you already made that decision, dude? I don't know about that. And those are kind of some of the decisions or the things that he says that make me question him.
Well, and there is that one thought before I get to my pick that, like, I think he might be setting it up so, like, people have the narrative of, like, well, let's give Nagy a chance with Justin Fields. But right. Like, also, just think, because he came to... And preseason's preseason. Like, that was my big line last year. It's like, you know, you can't really always fall in love with preseason darlings, because sometimes it's what they are. But, and God forbid I wouldn't want something to happen to Josh Allen. But just think, like, what if Mitch Trubisky looks all right? And, you know, well, for some reason he plays.
Trubisky torched the Bears when they played in preseason. And that was amazing. Amazing. One of the best preseason games I've watched, and I enjoyed every bit of it, dude.
It was cool getting to see, you know, him do that. Obviously, you know, I guess the closest thing he'll get to a revenge game for some time. That was cool for him.
And I also, just on top of that, just a little note, I do think that Trubisky, the Bills system is much better for Trubisky, and I just felt like that's how the Bears should have been running their system, is like, hey, Trubisky's a mobile quarterback and can get out of the pocket and can run these weird RPOs and stuff like that. But instead, Nagy just wanted him to be a pocket passer and wanted him to, you know, limit it to screens and stuff like that. So even as a backup, I think that Trubisky's in a better position with the Bills than he was with the Bears. But anyways, back to what you were saying.
Right. Yeah, I mean, and I agree with you on both fronts that I think you know, the Bears have had better talent than what their record or what they've been able to do. And I guess I think, like, Mitch Trubisky's not great, but I don't think he's quite Ryan Leaf the way some people believe.
Right.
So I think that'll be kind of, a blemish maybe on Matt Nagy, depending how his career shakes out. But my coach, first coach to get the axe midseason, I'm going to stay with the Chicago Bears pipeline. I'm going to go Vic Fangio over there in Denver, because now this is going to, like, we're not even going to dive into it, but, like, I do think they think, okay, unless Drew Locke somehow takes over the job and is good, like, I think they're trying to find their next chapter at quarterback. Obviously, they all, a lot of them and their fan base think it's going to be Aaron Rodgers. To be told, we'll, like, who knows? But, like, point is, like, I do think they are looking for that next fresh start as a franchise. Like, they've kicked that can down the road, or they've kind of tried to start fresh with a couple new coaches. And Vic Fangio, I think he's a great D coordinator, but I don't think he's hacking it yet. And I think
I also
this
don't
year,
know if
Teddy
I trust
Bridgewater,
defensive coaches, you know?
Well,
like,
right now it's been the offensive coaches who've been hot for the most part.
And you can call Belichick a defensive coach, and yes, he is a defensive coach, but he also had Tom Brady as his quarterback, so it's a little different.
Right now, it's the offensive minds are winning the game at the moment. And football's a trendy game, so, like who knows how long that'll be. But right now, Bridgewater and Drew Locke, like, those are the two you got. Apparently they really thought they might be getting Aaron Rodgers this summer. Obviously, don't have anyone near that quality. And I do think they got some good weapons. Like the people who
that
tried
was close
to make
to
it
a done
sound,
deal, by the way, close to
yeah.
a done deal.
yeah, exactly. We'll dive into that situation someday down the road, as I'm guessing, you know, developments for better or for worse at some point will lead us there. But just saying, the Broncos, you don't have your guy of the future at quarterback unless Drew Lock maybe regains some of that week one magic, but you don't right now.
Right.
So I think they're looking maybe,
And also they're going with Teddy, so they're rolling with Teddy as the starter. So,
and I like Teddy Bridgewater, but he's a gap guy.
And he's I've been a huge Teddy supporter as well, but he's also already 28. You know, he's reached veteran quarterback status, so it's not necessarily ideal.
I don't think they'll have enough juice, even with some of the good young receiving threats they have. I don't think they'll have quite the juice. And they're in a tough division. I mean, they have six between the Chargers, who are going to be better, the Raiders, who are, that'll be a
probably
going to
be better.
The
Raiders will be better, sure.
And then, of course, the Chiefs. So it's like that's six for them, really probably pretty tough games.
Probably
each
six
season.
Losses or at least four losses.
Oh, yeah,
I don't see them
yeah.
beating the Chargers or the Chiefs. So.
Yeah, I mean, I for sure see them getting swept by the Chiefs. So it just... Yeah, I think Vic Fangio's time as the head coach of the Broncos is going to come to an end probably earlier this season.
That may not entirely fall on the hands of Vic Fangio either. It's not like he's been getting an ideal situation, but I think I can agree with you there.
He's
probably on a bit
Von
of a...
Von Miller and Brad Chubb, his two biggest defensive guys, have both had season-ending injuries in recent years. So.
And Bradley just got arrested too, so sweet.
Okay. yeah.
I don't know if you heard about that, but Bradley Chubb got arrested.
I think I saw that, maybe a headline. Yeah, I haven't read into it, but Vic Fangio's my go-to.
yeah,
well,
definitely understandable.
What do we got next, man? I'm digging this. Fire me up, man.
yeah, I know. We're going to these. These are actually really exciting, and I think this last one is probably going to be the best one, but most quarterback interceptions. And I thought the reason that this came up to me is because I've really put my stake in the ground for Jameis Winston this year, because
right.
I think I heavily criticized the Saints for saying, the whole Taysom Hill thing and pretending like it was a debate between whether Taysom Hill or Jameis Winston was going to start for him. And, maybe they weren't pretending. Maybe they thought that. But I thought, the fact that Jameis Winston, he threw 30 interceptions. I get it. But he also threw 30 fucking touchdowns. And that's more than most quarterbacks are throwing in a season. And it was before he had LASIK eye surgery. So that man didn't have working eyes, and he went 30-30, which obviously you want to limit those, but 30 touchdowns is still really impressive. And so that had me thinking, who do I think is going to throw the most interceptions this year? And I was thinking about a few quarterbacks. There's a lot of rookie QBs playing this year.
Yeah,
could it be Trevor Lawrence? Could it be Zach Wilson? I don't know. I think I like Zach Wilson a lot, and I really like Zach Wilson after he worked with Aaron Rodgers. And I really like what Aaron said about Zach. So that makes me think he's probably all right. But then I was thinking a little more, and I was like, the NFC East. The NFC East has some interesting quarterback play, because they've got Fitzmagic playing in Washington now. And then the Giants have a man named Daniel Jones, Danny Dimes, Mr. Dimes.
He'll give that thing away sometimes.
And a lot of people are saying he's on a bit of a hot seat this year. If he doesn't get the job done this year, the Giants will be moving on. Caden, if you're hearing this right now, Mr. Giants fan, I know you've been saying he's on the hot seat as well, and I've taken heed of that. But the reason why Daniel Jones is my pick for the most interceptions this season as a quarterback is not just because I don't think Daniel Jones is that great. It's not just because he's in the NFC East. But it's also because they have a number of new wideouts on the team. They drafted Kadarius Toney. They brought in Kenny Galladay. And so there's a number of new guys there that I think it's going to take some time for Jones, a young quarterback, to get on page with them. And who knows if we'll ever see him on page with them. But I think there's going to be some turnovers there. And I think there's going to be a lot of turnovers there. And that's my pick for most interceptions by a quarterback this season is Daniel Jones for that reason.
All right, there you go. Danny Dimes going to be the pick leader, and that definitely wouldn't surprise me. This is going to fall under the hot takes, the bold takes right here. All right, I'll explain why. Going to go Big Ben. Roethlisberger. Now, that's a take. That is a take. And you know, I thought about Zach Wilson because I do think, you know, I was not high on him in the draft, so that's where me and you would be differing. But if we were getting into that on this episode, but then over like the preseason game with Green Bay and just some of the training camp, and honestly, just kind of seeing his composure and his like personality, like, you know, like those practice picks, people were making a big deal out of it. And he's like, dude, I'm just out here like, I'm here testing the waters. Mm-hmm. Like, if there's a time for me to just throw them things, like, it's now. So, right. Like, get off me is basically his message. So I like that. I like that about Zach Wilson. So most picks, and I do think, like, I think, yeah, he played for Super Bowl champion Bruce Arians. But, like, I think Jameis is going to have a lot better, just a lot, like, I think he's going to be a lot more trustworthy down there in New Orleans. I think he's got to just, like, so I'm not going with him.
And he's still got Sean Payton, too.
Right,
so.
So, Ben Roethlisberger, because, you know, I'll tell you what I saw, okay? They went 11-0. Once they hit, like, that first loss and that, like, second loss in a row, and you kind of saw it coming because, like, that 10th win, that 11th win, like, do you kind of remember? Like, they got ugly on the Steelers. You know,
yeah, they hit 11-0,
like,
right.
It was starting to be like, okay, these guys can't run the ball. Like, they can only, you know, at some point, people, like, Juju's, like, not what he was a year or two ago. And, you know, Chase Claypool's really exciting. But, yeah, I think, like, what you saw is, like, once they got to that second loss, third loss in a row, it just seemed like it just all deflated.
And that locker room just fell apart.
Completely fell apart.
And, I mean, Mike Tomlin had to, like, talk all of Steeler Nation into being on board with bringing Big Ben back because everybody was like, Big Ben's done. Yeah. He can't throw it 30 yards. We're out. And then Tomlin had a press conference, which was essentially like, Big Ben can still throw the ball. he's still got an arm. He's still a good quarterback. And I didn't buy it. I still don't buy it.
I like those guys, man. I like Tomlin. I mean, I think Big Ben's been an awesome quarterback for the game. So, you know, I like him too. But
I like Tomlin
a
lot too.
Mm-hmm. Like I like the Steelers brass. You know, I like them as an organization. But I think, you know, Big Ben right now is coming back motivated. Like, hey, I'm gonna give it one last go. I think there's the talk like he's kind of went a little more the Brady route with his diet and taking care of his body. Like,
see, I think he might have, but I'm pretty sure Brady's been doing that diet like his whole life.
Yeah.
Big Ben just started it at like what 36 or whatever he is.
Yeah,
it's like I don't
like
think
that.
It's the same, dude. You've been chugging beers about just as much as I have the last few years, Ben.
I think it gets to about week 8 or 9. I think things aren't gonna like. I like some of the things they got going in Pittsburgh with like Najee Harris.
Oh yeah,
they're another organization I think is kind of ready to let some young faces take over, which might mean the end of Tomlin at some point, too.
Which I hope it doesn't, but because Tomlin has stuck around for a while, by the way. He's been there for so long.
I love that about Pittsburgh. I love that it's three coaches in the last, like, 50 years.
Uh-huh, I love that, too.
That's awesome for the game. So,
and I do think that Tomlin is super underrated, by the way, because you're talking about a guy that's been doing it for a while.
Yeah.
Since 2007. He coached against the Packers in the Super Bowl, you know?
Yeah, right. So he, I think like come week 8 or 9 things aren't going well for the Steelers. I think Ben's gonna airmail it in. Like who? Like Dwayne Haskins might be starting by the end of things.
I almost think you're just better off just going with Dwayne Haskins as the quarterback because I actually think you're handicapping the Steelers this year by going with Big Ben as your guy. And it's not like they just went with Big... It's not even like they had a competition for it, you know? Like, they just went with Big Ben. They pretty much announced Big Ben was going to be their quarterback at the end of last season when they said they were bringing him back for another year.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
it's not like they really even considered it. I don't think they ever gave it a chance, and I think it really handicapped their team. I think it's going to hold their team back this year just by going with Big Ben as the quarterback. And in my opinion, you're wasting a year as a franchise in doing something like that. So kind of similar to the Broncos situation, choosing to go with Teddy Bridgewater. And by the way, again, huge Teddy supporter, but I'll say this right now. The Houston Texans choosing to go with Tyrod Taylor and the Broncos choosing to go with Teddy Bridgewater or Drew Lock, you know, deciding there. A couple other, I can't think of them right now, but those two mainly I've been thinking about. Cam Newton could come in there right now and start over any one of those teams' quarterbacks, not named Deshaun Watson, and your team would be in a much better position, and Cam Newton's available. And so I understand there's, like, the vaccination thing going on. I'm not really going to talk about that, but I think you're hindering your team, and you're making decisions based on things that shouldn't really matter. And like the fact that the Texans are going to roll with Tyrod Taylor, again, I think Cam Newton steps in instantly better QB situation. Same thing could be said about the Broncos. You're going to roll with Teddy Bridgewater. Cam Newton is a better quarterback than Teddy Bridgewater. That you could put your team in a much better situation. But, oh well. We've already gone 25 minutes talking about our toilet bowl takes that I said I didn't want to dive in too deep on, but they were actually really fun, and I actually enjoyed talking about them. But to roll into the Packers content now.
Right.
Focus on our Green Bay Packers, the greatest team in the history of the NFL. We've got some fun and exciting ones. Some of these picks might be obvious to you guys, but it's still going to lead to some exciting conversation, and I'll just get it started right off the bat. The Packers' most valuable player this season. Could be an interesting topic considering they had the NFL's MVP last year. And so the obvious choice would be, you know, Aaron Rodgers.
Like, I feel like we both have to, like, set the ground rule. Like, okay, right now, like, he's obviously, so we got to, like...
Right. Like, I'm not just going to tell you, the Packers MVP, Aaron Rodgers, next conversation.
Yeah.
But if we were to exclude Aaron Rodgers from that, you know, who's going to be the most valuable player on the team this year? This is a pretty easy choice for me, just because I think he's probably been the most valuable guy on the offensive line, at least last year, and one of the more valuable guys, you know, just in the locker room and to have on the team. So that's something that I'm looking forward to, and I'm really looking forward to seeing how he expands his game this year. But Elgton Jenkins on the offensive line and what he's been able to do, and the fact that he's going to replace David Bakhtiari for the first 6 weeks of this season is going to be really key in the Packers' success, how he handles that. But I'm more than confident that if you're a Packer fan and you're watching, you're not going to... You know, you're not going to miss anything at the left tackle position. Elton is going to step in there, and it's going to be as if you still have an all-pro left tackle playing there. And I'm confident he's going to hold that position down as well as Bakhtiari does. And then when Bakhtiari comes back, whether Jenkins gets slid out to right tackle or he goes back to left guard or however they handle that, I think that Elgton Jenkins' play this season is key in their success, and if he can do it at an elite level, he'll be the team's MVP.
I completely can see that because, I mean, Elgton Jenkins is someone that I think is on it's the Green and Bold podcast for a reason, so, you know, he's on a Hall of Fame trajectory. I have no issue, honestly, saying that, so... Yeah, he'll be completely valuable to the Packers' success, especially in those first 6 weeks. Hopefully just 6 weeks, and then David Bakhtiari's back ready to roll, which all indications show that he should be by then. But anyhow, so my MVP, I'm going to go Jair Alexander. Mm-hmm. And reason being is... You know,
sounds like Blaine agrees with you, by the way. I guess I don't know if you saw Blaine's comment.
I saw, man, when he hears this, he might be like, oh, really, that's how it is. No, I saw he commented, man. Well, I was like, you know, I was in the middle of doing stuff. I was scrolling along, you know, I was going to read it, didn't get around. So now it's like, oh, okay, so me and Blaine, we're in unison.
Yeah, he said that he said he thinks Jair's going to lead the league in interceptions this year, which
okay.
I would be really
excited
about.
See, I'm going to disagree with our guy Blaine right there and say he's not even going to get thrown at enough for that.
that's the problem is nobody's going to want to throw at him, right? Well, and I'll give you a little criticism of Jair's game right now. He is so locked down that he doesn't get thrown at, but also...
It'd be cool if he starts baiting some people in.
It'd be cool if he started catching the damn interceptions,
that's
too.
True,
this
man
drops them or he knocks them down.
He's got a couple hit him in the mitts. He had, two against... He had two in that NFC title game.
And, so I think I do think he could get more interceptions if he would just reel the ball in. But, again, he's an elite corner. That is nitpicking from me, so.
Yeah, exactly. And you have to try and find – I mean, how you got, what, 41st on the top – whatever. I will go irate.
If quarterbacks voted on that, if it was just quarterbacks, I can guarantee you Jair would have been top five.
That was what was so bogus to me. It was like, okay, well then – every other cornerback should be no higher than 41, right? Is that what I'm going to see? And I look at this list, no cornerback higher than 41.
No, and they had some up there that were pretty questionable too. So
yeah. I mean, so I'm going Jair because I think last year, I think it is because like Xavier Howard had the picks, man. That's why, and he only plays for the Dolphins, which. I mean, it doesn't really matter. Like, it's not like the NBA when it comes to market size as much because Green Bay is so notable.
It's still Miami, though.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, I guess it could. That could definitely have an effect. So, but anyways, like, yeah, you know, Xavier Howard had the picks. Jair didn't really, you know, he's got the passes defended. He's got, like, you know, you go down and see what each team's leading receiver does when they play the Packers. I mean, that's when you see, like, okay, that's how effective he is. And I just think from the MVP, from obviously, he's always taken some big element out of your passing game anytime he's on the field, which is huge. But also, I think he's going to be, you know, most valuable just from, like, that respect standpoint of, like, I think people started to take notice, but still, like, people don't, when you talk to the regular NFL fan, okay, some guy who's a fan, who, you know, whose favorite team is, like, the Chargers or Chiefs or some other team, like Jair's still probably not in their top three.
No,
it's gonna be Jalen Ramsey,
Stephen,
Stephon,
and
Gilmore,
probably Tre'Davious White.
You know, it's like those guys is who they put in their top three, or Xavier, you know, just all those.
Bradbury's made a name for himself, and James Dean as well. So those are like the common ones I hear.
Yeah, I mean, so, like, I think it's going to get to the point where after this season, it's kind of like Davante Adams, where it's like, okay, how many, like, top two or three at his position seasons does he need to have in a row before people finally start recognizing him as, like, a
recognizing
top
three or five
receiver?
Recognizing him as even top 10, dude. It was hard enough to get my friends to agree that he's top 10. And then, you know, anybody would look top 10 with Aaron Rodgers throwing to him. Okay, what about the seasons where he had Brett Hundley and, you know, the other guy, Deshaun Kizer, throwing to him, and Adams was still an elite wide receiver? Yeah.
This is the season I see people are finally going to be like, all right, okay, yeah, Jair's like, he's a top, you know, Tim, Jalen Ramsey, and whoever. So
I would really like that to happen, too. And this is actually a decent segue because I'm going to go into the most improved player for the Packers this year. And I think that I could see that happening based on some of the other things in the secondary. Probably one reason Jair doesn't get that many picks is because the Packers have struggled with a cornerback, too. You know, Kevin King, I don't criticize King as nearly as much as most Packer fans do, but, so I think that first and foremost, I think that, I wanted to say Darnell Savage was my most improved player for this year. And the reason for that is I think Darnell's going to have an insane season. I think Darnell is going to be a ball hawk in the backfield, and he's shown the ability to cover, you know, 1 to 53, the entire width of a football field, single high. You can put that man back there. He's a ball hawk. He's got the speed to do it. And I really think we're going to see him excel in this new defense, and that'll help lead to Jair Alexander's, you know, play as well. If the safety's over top locking things down, you know, quarterbacks are going to be forced to throw the ball elsewhere, forced to throw it at Jair, you know. And another thing that could be key in that is Kevin King. And I know everybody's saying Chandon Sullivan's their guy for either the nickel corner or the starting two corner. I get it. I'm also not willing to judge Kevin King for one play that happened just before halftime of the NFC Championship game last year. I think Kevin King is a lot better than what a lot of NFL fans and Packer fans give him credit for. I know he's kind of became the running joke. Everybody likes to make jokes about it, but that man's fired up. And, you know, I seen him, he's been putting in work this season. He's been, this off season, he's been boxing, training a lot, getting himself in shape. And, you know, I don't know if you guys don't know, but Kevin King is really fast and really tall and a very athletic player. And on top of that, we've got Joe Barry coming in at DC. And I've said it before, I'll say it again. I don't think that Scotty Miller play was Kevin King's fault. I think that Scotty Miller play was a defensive miscommunication, and either the safety, somebody missed their job. And whether it was Kevin King or whether it was a safety, somebody missed their job to have overtop coverage on that play. And in my opinion, that falls on the defensive coordinator. Anytime you've got a defensive miscommunication or guys are not on the same page, I think that falls on the coordinator. And now that we've got a guy like Joe Barry, and I'm really excited about that, but I think Kevin King is going to want to shut the haters up this year. And I think he's going to do so in standout fashion, to the point where he's going to be their most improved player this season and really lock things down. And I think that'd be ideal, because if we could come back next year and throw King and Alexander on the outside with the young Stokes taking over that nickel corner, the speed to cover anybody, we'd have a very elite secondary. And by the way, you know, I mentioned Kevin King's play better. I think Darnell Savage is going to play better this year. And the Packers have one of the top safety duos in the NFL with Adrian Amos and Darnell Savage. So you've got two very good pass coverage guys behind you that you can trust. And I think that's gonna help Kevin King out a lot this year, especially if Savage plays better. So that's why he's my bold pick for the most improved player. And I'll probably catch some flack for that. I know King's the joke, man. I get it. But you know, I think he's coming back for some vengeance.
Awesome. So I mean, I hope so, man. Because that 2019, when he was pretty good, man, that was fun. That was fun, and it would be nice to see him get back there. This one, I have a toss up. I really have a toss up, but it's between. So I was thinking about Rashawn Gary, but I think he's just going to continue on this upward trajectory, and I don't know if he warrants like a most improved, just because like I think he's just like going to continue to prove himself. Like he's not I don't see a baseline for him to improve on as much as, like, if that makes sense. I think he's just going to take that next step and be, like, a real, real force for the Packers. But I am going to stay with that pass rusher, you know, that kind of, you know, D-lineman slash pass rusher mold. I'm going to go Dean Lowry. That was who I was going for with first because, you know, I think with this new, you know, this new defensive system, I think he's going to show up to be just a real, like, important piece of depth. I think he's gonna, I think he's gonna be kind of the guy where I think we were hoping he'd step into earlier in his career, where, like, you know, maybe he could be a starter. I don't know that he'll be a starter at any point, but I think he'll be, you know, like a solid rotational player. So I do look forward to Dean Lowry's development. The other one I'm really looking forward to is Preston Smith. He took a lot of flack for taking a step back last year. I mean, he just did not have. You know, because it was the Smith brothers, and it was like, okay, well, Za'Darius has stayed hot. Preston hasn't been able to do that. Or wasn't able to do that in 2020. He looked at times just kind of out of place. And then some of that was some of the scheme things, obviously. There was that famous picture of, like, him going out. And I don't even know if it was something that was dumb or not. You know, I don't really remember quite all the context. But he was out split out, like, in man coverage on. I'm not sure if it was a receiver. If it was, then it's kind of stupid, but it might have been like a running back or something. Anyways, you know, there's also the thought, like, he kind of looked, you know, he looked like he got maybe a little bigger, maybe a little heavier than what he can be effective at. And just, yeah, he had, a down season in 2020. And I think he's going to come back. Is it enough to earn him a second contract with the Packers? We'll see. Especially just with everything that is to be seen next off season, you know, with all the decisions they're going to have to make. Preston Smith's might just get lost in the shuffle. But, yeah, Dean Lowry and Preston Smith, I'll go Dean Lowry will be my actual pick because that's who I was going with earlier. I know he doesn't play a lot, but what I'm saying is I think he's going to be a guy where, like, oh, he's pretty good. Like, you're not, like, pretty good. Like, he's someone that's, like, pretty good to have.
Yeah, and I think he'll probably play more in this Joe Barry system. It kind of sounds like they'll have, like, the three, go to that three, sort of five-man front where you've got the Smith guys outside and then the three guys on the interior, so I think you'll see Lowry play a little more. And I'll be the first to admit, I heavily criticized Lowry. Maybe I wouldn't criticize him so much if it weren't for Tyler Lancaster being, like, in the same position where I just don't get it. But, Lowry can play, no doubt about it. But we're also paying, we signed him to, like, a four-year, $21 million
deal. Well, that's what I mean. I'm hoping this is the year where he, like, actually, you know, shows up to be maybe close to worth that.
I'd be stoked about it, but I'd also slightly not be stoked about it just because I'm pretty excited about Slayton. And I'm trying to avoid getting too excited about the rookies this year because I've realized, like, the last couple of years we've sort of really gotten excited about the rookies, and it kind of seems like with the Packers' play style, their management, it seems like rookies aren't going to play that much. And kind of a reason why I didn't pick Eric Stokes as, like, most improved or anything like that is because I don't really know we're going to see him all that much the first couple weeks at least. So I'm trying not to get too excited about the rookies, but at the same time, it would help the Packers a lot if Dean Lowry could figure it out and could really have an impact on the interior defensive line. So I think that would be big if he was the most improved player this year. But with that being said, as I just stated, I don't want to get too excited about the rookies this year. Yeah. Rookie of the year pick, and this one might not be exciting again as well, and you probably already know, as I just stated, I'm not going with Eric Stokes because, one, I don't know how much he's going to play, and then two, the Packers do have a solid secondary with Alexander and then the safeties of Amos and Savage, and then Sullivan has really stepped up his play, and obviously we brought back Kevin King for a reason, so I don't know how much we will see Eric Stokes. That will probably depend on the defensive formations that they choose to roll with, but if Stokes is out there, then I'll be excited about it. Obviously, I want him to be out there as much as possible, but the guy who has really come on and made a name for himself, especially through this preseason, a lot of people didn't know about him as the fourth round pick, but Royce Newman was the top graded lineman for the Packers this preseason. Shows an ability to play multiple positions, kind of just like Elton. You know, this guy can play tackle or guard, can move around, and he was really solid during the preseason. And I think they already announced that Newman is going to start alongside Josh Myers, so the Packers will have two rookies starting on the offensive line. And I wasn't sure if I was kind of thinking about going with Josh Myers, but to be honest with you, I already have high expectations for Myers. Him being a second round pick and especially being a Packers offensive line early pick, usually the Packers know what they're doing with offensive line, so obviously they have high expectations for him as well. I know they said there will be growing pains, but I really think that this fourth-round pick, Royce Newman, is going to make a name for himself this year, and I think he's going to have a major impact. And as long as he remains healthy all year, I think the Packers got two solid rookie linemen starting for him, and I think that Royce Newman is going to really take over. And, you know, maybe one day we see, instead of Elton taking the right tackle spot, maybe we see Royce Newman slide his little ass out there and take right tackle. So I'm pretty excited about him.
I am excited because in the draft, or after the draft, like, it, there was something, like, I can't remember what it was, but it was, like, people thought he was a good, like, had a real good college career, real good player, but it was something, like, you know, he wasn't necessarily as imposing as maybe some guys the Packers have taken before. Like, I can't remember, but it was, like, it just wasn't, it didn't quite have the level of excitement that he has now. Like, he really made a name for himself in camp, you know, and in the mini camps and then in training camps. So it was real cool to see, like, I don't think he was huge on many people's radar in the off season, and then in the off season started to, like, put people on notice. So that was cool to see. So my rookie of the year here for this Packers team, I'm going to go with Josh Myers. Just because I was super excited. I think he is, I don't think he doesn't quite have the versatility, but, like, I think he's a Elton Jenkins level signing where, like, he's going to be one of the top at, now you can, I can't even say at his position, because what is Elton Jenkins' position, which is right. A cool problem to have. or not problem, I wouldn't even say that.
Yeah, right.
But I think, like, he's going to be just so good, and I'll let you know how good when we get to the bowl predictions. That's all I'm going to say. But, no, I think he's going to start 16 games or 7. God, there we go. First one of the day for me so far. He's going to start 17 games and then some this season there at center. And then I think for years to come. I mean, I think he is going to be a guy that the Packers keep around. And, I mean, just think right now if Newman continues his, like, really good play, this trajectory he's on, that looks like he's going to be a starter for a while in Green Bay, and same with how I'm saying about Josh Myers and what we know Elgton Jenkins is going to be. I mean, just between that three, we're not even looking at the fact that there's still several of years ahead for Bakhtiari. Like, just that young core of those three, I mean, that's special. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, really looking forward to that. Looking forward to seeing Josh Myers out there competing. He's my rookie of the year. So, looks like that Packers, you know, if our predictions hold up, that Packers' dominance on offensive line is just going to continue for a while.
Right. And I think with that, we've covered sort of the Packers, you know, just our awards predictions so far. And I actually talked about the Packers, my prediction for their record. I put that in the projecting the NFC North article that went out on the Leap Zone yesterday. So I guess Kat's already out of the bag on that one. I'm going for the third year in a row of a 13-win season. I realize the NFC North has a tough schedule, the toughest schedule out of any of the divisions in the NFL this year. But when I sat there and looked through it, I genuinely gave the Packers their losses I thought they would have, you know, the tough games that I thought they would have, and I still had them coming out at 13-4. Doesn't quite have the same ring to it as 13-3, but 13-4 is what I've got them at for this year.
All right, so that's where I was at, and yeah, I mean, I think right in the early going, I think the Packers are going to take care of business against the Saints, especially given their secondary problems. I think the Niners has a chance to maybe sneak up on them week three is like that
was one of the losses I gave the Packers,
yeah,
to be honest.
That's one where I could see. So I don't have a game-by-game prediction, but I looked at it and I was like, okay, I can see between the Chiefs and Ravens, I think the Packers go either 1-1, probably 1-1 between those two games. And then I think, you know, one of those teams, oh, and the Rams. So I think they either win one or two of those games, but not three. And then you look at, like, okay, the Browns, that's a potential, you know, that's a potential loss. I just thought, I looked at the games where on paper it has potential, and then with the ones that I think could sneak up on them, I was like, I feel really comfortable at 13-4. I look at Washington, that could be, say, like a game that kind of, you know, they might stumble on, especially because, okay, so let's look at it this way, Trent. Okay, 1, 2, 3. Let's say the Packers beat the Niners, Steelers, Bengals, Bears the following 3 weeks. All pretty winnable games.
Mm-hmm.
Washington, I think, is going to be, you know, I think they're my prediction to win that NFC East. So I think they'll be a pretty solid team. The Packers very well could be 6-0 going into that game.
Mm-hmm.
So with that said, like, I think that's got the potential to be like that trip up for the Packers, where it's like, all right, a team who's not as good as you guys but still solid, if they catch you, they're going to catch the Packers. So, like, you know, I look between the games that I think are toss-ups and the games that I think, okay, if the Packers aren't playing their best game, this team might actually get them here, which you could also throw in maybe one or I think they'll still be – I think they'll either win between 4-6, I think they'll win between 4-6 games in the division. I'd lean more towards 5 or 6. But, yeah, I think that, 4 losses is where I'm like, you know what? That's a good mark.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we actually kind of agree, yeah, there, I guess. So
and I did
four.
Reply, you know, there's a radio station that
I saw you.
So I went with 12 right away, and then I looked over the schedules, like, I'm gonna move that to 13.
Yeah,
so I guess depending who saw it, Kat's out of the bag on my end as well.
Yeah, well, and I, like I said, I genuinely sat down and I tried to look at it completely unbiased. I was like, what, you know, I'll give the Packers the games where I think they're going to lose. And I still came out 13-4. I really think there's 13 winnable games there, maybe even 14 winnable games if things go a little, you know, a little differently. We could see, you know, the 12 to 14 win range. That's where I'd like to see the Packers. Yeah. I wouldn't complain about 11-6. But, you know, the goal is first place in the NFC North. I also think they're pretty easy to project as first place in the NFC North. But with that being said, we are officially 20 minutes away from NFL kickoff, the 2021 season. So let's get these bold predictions in here so we can enjoy football, for the real football, for the first time this year. Unless you've watched 30 college football games like I have already due to my other job. But, I'll get it kicked off. There's a lot of excitement around Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon. I know a lot of people questioned, oh, why did we pay Aaron Jones when we have A.J. Dillon? As if LaFleur didn't say 2 years ago, I want three running backs. And as if LaFleur hasn't proved to you that he will use three running backs and they will successfully do so. Jamal Williams started 44% of the Packers' snaps last season. That man is now gone. A.J. Dillon is going to step up into that role and he will probably get 44% of the snaps or right around in that area. I'm not going to go, you know, I think A.J. is going to rush for more yards or more touchdowns, but I think the Packers are going to have one of the best rushing attacks in football this year. And my first bold prediction is that Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon are going to combine for over 2,000 yards this year.
Okay, there we go. I like that one. It's, you know, it doesn't get done very often in today's NFL.
Unless you're named Derrick Henry, like, but, and you do it on your own.
Yeah. I mean, hey, we're talking Nick Chubb, you know, Kareem Hunt style. Mm-hmm. Rushing attack, and I'm all in on that. So I think it's achievable. So I'm gonna stay. Well, since I teased it, I'll go with this one first. First year, and I got a pair of rookies. I got three bold predictions. Pair of them have to do with rookies. First year, I'm gonna go Josh Myers, Pro Bowler.
That would be.
I think he comes out. I'd be very
happy if that happens.
Oh yeah, yeah. You know, at center, it's, yeah, I think he's just going to come out and just be real good. And try to think of, you know, there might, because I'm thinking about two probably Pro Bowl centers. So, yeah, I think he'll get one of those spots.
And, I mean, we shipped Lindsley to the AFC, so, well, didn't ship him there, but he went to the AFC, so don't have to worry about him being there anymore, too. But, yeah, so first bold predictions, you've got Jones and Dillon combining for 2,000, and then Josh Myers Pro Bowl center. So second bold prediction, not as exciting because I definitely heavily discussed this just a little bit ago, but second bold prediction is definitely Darnell Savage playing this year, and I think that man's gonna get 6 interceptions. That's my number I'm looking for this year, is for him to get to 6. And that might not sound like a lot, but if you think about it, 6 interceptions in 17 games, that's quite a bit. So I'd really like to see him get that, and I think he can do it.
All right, so I'm going to go, so this one, I guess bold prediction, it's kind of for the rookies for me, especially on the first two. I'm talking total touchdowns. And when you think about it, the fact that, like, he's probably not going to see the field much out of the backfield. Like you said, they do use three running backs, but he'll get kind of limp. I'm going to go between catching the ball, which he's proven he can do, and rushing. Call me crazy, but it's, you know, it's green and bold. Four total touchdowns for old Kylan Hill out of Mississippi State. Ooh. 3 picks away, I think, or what was it, just a handful. Like, he was one of the last 5 or 10 picks in the draft.
And yeah, I actually thought you were going to talk about Amari. That's where I thought you were going.
Dude, you know, I like Amari. It looks like they're going to surely use him. He just didn't do anything in preseason yet that excited me other than some nice bubble screen. So I hope he's got something bigger in store, man.
Yeah, and, well, I kind of hate myself. I do think that the Packers, I trust LaFleur is going to get Amari, you know, slot, maybe jet sweep. Just give him the ball. That's the kind of thing I want to do, is just give Amari the ball. I don't even like myself for having this thought, but I kind of feel like Rodgers is going to do two things this year. I think Rodgers is going to try to ensure that Davante Adams becomes the top-paid wide receiver, and in doing so, he's going to throw him the ball a lot, which we're already used to. I also think that Rodgers brought back his friend Randall Cobb, and was heavily criticized for being the reason the Packers brought back Randall Cobb. And obviously that decision looks better now that Funchess is gone. But I think we're going to see Rodgers force the ball to Randall Cobb a bit as well. Maybe not force it, but he's going to try and get him the ball. And I do worry that there are some plays where maybe we could have used Amari in that situation. But I will admit, you know, when people were originally mad that we brought back Cobb, you know, or mad that they were talking about it, I was definitely like, hey, you guys, it's no, you know, it's okay to have two slot wide receivers, right? Like, we can use weapons in different ways. Like, it'll be okay, and Amari will be fine. But I do kind of think we'll see Rodgers forcing the ball to Adams and Cobb this year, and that could cost Amari, you know, a few receptions or a few touchdowns, whatever. But I do like the Kylan one because, man, does he remind me of Aaron Jones. So much does he remind me of Aaron Jones. He's not the fastest guy in the world, but he looks so much quicker. And if you understand the difference between speed and fast, like, or between quickness and speed, then you know what I'm talking about, because that man can make people miss, and he's going to run the last guy over and fall forward. And I really liked what he showed in the preseason. So I kind of like the Kylan Hill take there. But this last one, this last bold prediction I've got for you is a special one. Because we've had a special relationship with this guy over the last couple of seasons. And I've flip-flopped, you know. I was supporting him. And then last year I said I didn't want to talk about him at all. And I know I still had to talk about him a little bit, but we still avoided pretty much any and all conversation about him. This year, man, I'm back on board. Rodgers really likes him. He's been posting him on his Instagram story, talking about how much he likes him. And I think he's put in the work, and I think that he's really going to expand in his, you know, another year with this offense. Man, MVS Redemption Tour.
All right.
Marquez Valdez-Scantling, baby. That's the boat I'm getting on, and I'm going to stay on the boat. And you know what? It's not just a redemption tour. I'm going 850 yards for MVS this year. 850.
There we go. Yeah, I mean, hey, there's a lot of people that are like, hey, he could do it. And there's a lot of people think they should extend him now. Obviously, anyone who's been with this podcast since the beginning, like, they know I don't always have the greatest opinions of MVS, and I think there's, but I know that he's capable. I know that he has so much capabilities, but, like, I've definitely been very critical of MVS, but, gosh, he has the potential to do it, and I definitely welcome it. I'd be pumped if
he gets to the point where he reels in those catches. Like, you know, there's only a handful of guys in the NFL that can get open 50 yards down the field. MVS can do that. He's shown us that, and, you know, time and time again, he can get open down the field. He is a deep threat. He's just got to get to the point where he's comfortable bringing in the ball, and I think that's what this extra year is going to do for him. Also, he's probably fired up with some of the talks on social media about him as well. So I guess I've got two redemption tours this year, though. I'm riding with Kevin King, and I'm riding with MVS. Say what you want about it, but those are my boys.
That's good. You know, guys, I was going to do one. So I'm going kind of rogue. You know, I'm going rogue here. But Trent, I don't even know if I'm allowed to do this. But I'm doing it. I'm going to go Packers make a defensive line splash at the trade deadline.
Oh, okay. I would like that, too.
I know that's different. I know they're expecting stats. I flirted with Josiah DeGara. But I couldn't think of, like, what's a good stat line prediction there?
Right.
I
thought of, because we have no clue what to even expect from him.
You know? So I'm going to go Packers make a splash for, you know, a D-lineman at the trade deadline.
I kind of like that.
I think it's just different. You know, there's also part of me that wanted to think, okay, well, you know, what about this Devondre Campbell guy? You know, what can I predict about him? Thought about Chris Barnes, because... But I was like, you know what? I got to stay away from the linebackers because, man, was I...
Yeah, we can't jinx any more linebackers, Dan.
Exactly. It's like, dude, we have to just stay clear because we want the Packers to find stability there. And we, like, at times we're almost, like, sure last year that they did between Kamal Martin and Chris Barnes. Hopefully Barnes still has that. But Kamal Martin, I mean...
It's crazy what happens in a year, man. Crazy how much things can change in a year, I guess.
It is, but there it is. And, you know, I'm just trying to put my finger on who would be that defensive tackle or defensive lineman, because I think they are going to try and do something similar to when they brought Snacks in.
But gosh, dude, I've got a fourth hot take for you, and that's because you just brought it up right now, but...
Yeah.
Mike Daniels is the man that they'll make the move for at the trade deadline.
Ooh, yeah, man. If they're bringing back former Packers, man, there we go. Let's, you know what? let's just pencil that in. Packers make trade for Mike Daniels or someone better.
And Pat, I mean, technically, they wouldn't even have to trade for him right now. He's on the practice squad, so they could just pick him up.
Okay. Yeah. So then we'll stay away from it being officially Mike Daniels. But still, I think the Packers make splash for D tackle at the trade deadline.
Yeah, and I could definitely see that as well. Just a quick recap here. We're closing in on an hour, right, and we're 10 minutes away from NFL kickoff, yeah, so don't want to miss that. But just want a quick recap for you. Here were my three. We've got Jones and Dillon combined for 2,000 yards rushing. I've got Darnell Savage for 6 interceptions, and I've got the MVS Redemption Tour, 850 yards to my boy. He's going to be one of the top deep threats in the NFL this year. And then on Tanner's side of it, we had the center, Josh Myers, taking over, going for a Pro Bowl center in his rookie season. We've got another rookie in Kylin Hill coming out of the backfield. However, he gets the touchdowns, receiving, rushing, whatever. 4 touchdowns we've got for Kylin Hill. And then the splash move at the trade deadline, the Packers go ahead and get a defensive line improvement. And that reminds me as well, I have a complaint about the trade deadline. If we added a game to the regular season and we now play 17, 18 weeks, why did the trade deadline not get moved back a week? Yeah. I don't understand that. It stayed at week 8. That doesn't make sense to me. I thought it should have been moved back a week. But with that, we've got our bold predictions out. The NFL season. I know by the time you guys hear this, the NFL season will be one day in, because this will be releasing the day after. But NFL season's about to start. It's a really exciting time, you know?
And let me say this, too. I guess, you know, like, before we really outro this thing. Because, like, you know, I guess this summer, obviously, like, you know, I was in the middle of a new position. You know, both of us just had some things, like, kind of in flux. So it's tough for us to really match up and get something going. Plus, like, you know, it was how many weeks in a row do we feel like beating our head up against the wall about Rodgers?
Yeah, and we wanted to avoid doing that. We weren't gonna just pile on Rodgers.
It was just like, but even then, I mean, it was just tough. It was one of those things where, like, there were several weeks where, like, hey, let's get this thing up and running. Weren't really able to, but now we're in season, and you know, I guess I'll kind of talk about it more when it's, like, more kind of official, but, like, it kind of seems like our schedules are going to match up better so that we can get in our weekly episodes that we like doing. And then also, you know, provide more off-season content, especially as, you know, the Green and Bold podcast grows and the Leap Zone grows.
Yeah, which we've definitely been doing. But, yeah, it does look like our schedule is going to be a lot better. And I know we've said it before, but it's been a work in progress this whole time. So exactly. We're definitely looking at getting into making more content. And you've seen it kind of come across lately. I've been doing more of the writing as well. So you're going to get more articles, and then hopefully we'll be releasing more podcasts that kind of coincide with those articles as well.
Yeah, John Hancock on some articles as well and such. We'll get it going. And yeah, so thanks for sticking, you know, for me anyway. That's what I gotta say. Like, thanks for sticking with us, even on social media. I kind of, like, you know, I was in the middle of a move, adjusting to a new job. And, you know, I think now I'm kind of getting in my groove where we can kind of match up our schedules a lot better and make sure we leave you guys with an episode each week so you can, you know, just hang out with us, man. So, like, trying to create that sort of atmosphere. So excited to be back at it.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you do catch this episode before the week 1 game against the Saints, we hope this gets you excited for the season. And just know that we're really excited to keep moving through the season, and we're really excited to see where it goes. I've been waiting to do this one for a while, but as always,
go, Pat, go.